بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. This is the القول المفيد. القول المفيد على كتاب التوحيد. The beneficial saying on the book of Tawheed. And we are in chapter number 6 and class number 20. The title of the chapter is The saying of the author رحمه الله تعالى in his title. باب chapter من الشرك لبس الحلقة والخيط ونحوهما لرفع البلاء أو دفعه. From the this is actually chapter number 7, this is a correction. To wear a ring, twine or anything similar to them for prevention or lifting of harm or affliction is an act of shirk. And in this he cited the hadith of Uqba bin Amir relating it to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام: من تعلق تميمة فلا أتم الله له، ومن تعلق ودعة فلا ودع الله له. Whoever wears a talisman or an amulet would never see his wish fulfilled by Allah. And whoever hangs a seashell would never get peace and rest. And in one narration, من تعلق, in another version of this, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is reported to have said, من تعلق تميمة فقد أشرك. Whoever wears a talisman has committed shirk. And in the hadith of Abi Hatim, عن حذيفة, reporting from حذيفة, may Allah be pleased with all of them, أنه رأى رجلا في يده خيط من الحمى فقطعه وتلا قوله وما يؤمن أكثرهم بالله إلا وهم مشركون. Abu Hatim reported from حذيفة, may Allah be pleased with him, that he saw a man with a piece of twine on his hand as a protection or cure from fever. So he cut the twine and read the verse, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Most of them believe in Allah and still practice shirk, polytheism. Now concerning the first hadith, مَنْ تَعَلَّقَ تَمِيمَةً, meaning the one who wears a tamima, a talisman or an amulet, and attaches his heart to it, thinking that it can bring benefits and or ward off harm. And this is of the type like putting something on children, the like of beads or something similar, to protect them against the evil eye. Here the Prophet ﷺ said, فَلَا أَتَمَّ اللَّهُ لَهُ. The one who wears these things, the talisman or the amulet, the Prophet ﷺ said, فَلَا أَتَمَّ اللَّهُ لَهُ. It's possible that this is an informative statement, or it may be in the form of dua, invocation. Meaning, this is possible either way. And both tell and indicate that the tamima, the talisman or the amulet, are forbidden. Whether the Prophet ﷺ negated in his statement, if we take it as informative, negated that he would never see his wish fulfilled by Allah, or he put it in the form of dua, that may Allah does not make his wish fulfilled. So if the Prophet ﷺ intended it to be in the informative context, then we take it as such, and therefore we tell whatever the Prophet ﷺ told. Otherwise, we make the dua. We make dua by the same statement. We say, فَلَا وَدَعَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. May Allah never let his wish fulfilled. And what is also the wada'a came in the hadith. The wada'a is the type of stones taken from sea stones people hang or wear so as to repel the evil eye, and claim that the person, if he hangs this, then he is protected from the evil eye, or that the jinn cannot afflict any harm upon him. What does it mean, may Allah does not never get him peace and rest? Meaning this would leave him in a state of anxiety, worry and pain. So therefore he will have no good in that. To the contrary, he will be dealt with in opposition to his intention. At the end, in the other version of the hadith, مَنْ تَعَلَّقَ تَمِيمَةً فَقَدْ أَشْرَكْ. Whoever wears a talisman has committed shirk, and this shirk could be major if he believes that it lifts harm or brings good in itself, independent from the command of Allah. Otherwise, it would be from the lesser shirk. Now, in the other hadith, when Hudhayfa reported that he saw a man with a piece of twine on his hand, this he put as a protection or a cure from fever to cool off. So the Prophet ﷺ cut the twine, and this is from, and I would correct here something, because I attributed this to the Prophet ﷺ saw the man. Well, this is Hudhayfa. He was the one who saw the man with a piece of twine in his hand as a protection or cure from fever. So he cut that. And he here refers to Hudhayfa, alhamdulillah, for this correction now. So he cut the twine, and this is an act of changing, correcting the munkar, the evil, by the hand. And this is this in itself tells of the keenness of the righteous with the scissors, and their strength in terms of manifesting their iman. Then he recited this ayah, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُم بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُم مُشْرِكُونَ. Meaning, most of them believe in Allah and still practice shirk. What is intended here by the term mushriks? Those who believe in tawheed al-rububiyyah, in singling Allah alone as the Lord of all that exists, wa yakfuruna bitawheed al-uluhiyyah, and they reject and deny the tawheed of submitting, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, singling him alone in worship, the tawheed of divinity or godship. Mushrikun, meaning while and still practice the shirk. And the wording of Hudhayfa is concerning a Muslim man who put on this thread or this piece of twine to cool off, thinking that it can cool off the fever or cure from it. And this tells that it's possible that in the same person there could be iman and could be shirk, but the shirk is not the major, of course, because the major and iman cannot reconcile in the same person. لأن الشرك الأكبر لا يجتمع مع الإيمان. However, what is intended here is the lesser shirk, and this is obvious. In these narrations, there are benefits and issues. The first one is strict forbiddance of wearing rings, twines, and the like. Number one. Because in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ told the companion, "In Zaha, take it off. It would not succeed in لا تزيدك إلا وهنا. It's only going to increase you in worry. And if you would die on this, you would not succeed in the hereafter." And this is something very, very serious concerning the forbiddance, that it is very strict. The second is that the Sahabi, the companion, if the companion had died wearing such a thing, he would not be successful in the hereafter. And this is a companion. So how about those who are lesser in rank? Certainly they are more remote from achieving success. And there is a witness in these statements. There is a witness, an evidence concerning the saying of the companions that the lesser shirk is greater than the major sins in magnitude. Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, or may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, said, لا نحلف بالله كاذبا أحب إلي من أن أحلف بغيره صادقا. I would prefer to swear by Allah lying, and lying by the oath, I would prefer it, it would be more preferable to me than swearing by other than Allah in truth. Why? Because the sin of shirk is greater than the major sin, shirk, associating partners with Allah in worship, or to the exclusion of Allah. Because the shirk is not forgiven, even if it is according to one opinion, even if it is of the lesser type, in contrast to the major sins, they fall under the mashia, under the will of Allah. Thirdly, the author said that the companion was not excused due to ignorance, meaning ignorance was no excuse. This is what the author, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy be upon him, and our Shaykh rahimahullah, said this is open to discussion, because his saying, if the companion had died wearing, if he would die wearing such a thing, he would not have succeeded in the hereafter. This is not explicit that this is applicable on the state if he dies before knowing. Rather, the apparent meaning is that if you would die, you would never have succeeded after you knew of the matter and what it entails from the punishment, and if you were commanded to take it out and you don't. and therefore this matter requires further details. So we say that ignorance is of two types. Excusable, meaning ignorance can of the excusable type. The other is the opposite, non-excusable. So whatever arises from negligence while there is ilm, knowledge established, then in this case it cannot be excused. Whether this is relevant to kufr, disbelief, or sins. And whatever arises is due to other than this, meaning due to not being negligent or careless, and there isn't the knowledge that necessitates knowing of these matters, and it did not come on his mind that this is forbidden, then in this case it is excused. So if he belongs to Islam, it's not gonna affect him. And if he belongs to kufr, then we say that he is kafir in this life, he's a disbeliever in this life. However, in the hereafter, his case rests with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the preponderating opinion. He will be, according to this preponderating opinion, the person will be tested and tried. If he obeys, he will be admitted to paradise, and if he disobeys, then he will be admitted to the hellfire. And therefore, whoever lives, for example, in a remote area where there are no scholars and nothing comes to his mind that this is haram or this is obligatory, then in this case he is excused. For example, a person reaches the state of puberty, young, living in a remote area, no alim present, no scholar present in this area, and he didn't hear anything about knowledge, and he thinks that worship is not obligated on the person unless he reaches 15 years of age. So he remained, even after he reached the state of puberty, until he completed 15 years, while not praying, not fasting, no fasting, not even making purifications from sexual defilement. So concerning this person, we don't order him to make up for these worships because he is excused for his ignorance. Similarly, if a female gets her menses while young and there is no one around to ask concerning the rulings, and she didn't even think that this matter obligates cleansing unless she reaches 15. If she thinks so, then she is excused if she doesn't fast or if she doesn't pray. Contrary to these situations is the situations where people may be living in cities where they may ask, however they are careless and neglectful. In this case, they are not, or he is not, or she is not excused, because most likely these matters and these rulings are known in the cities, not hidden from everyone. And there are knowledgeable people to be asked. So in this case, the person is negligent. Therefore, it's abiding that he makes up for these worships which he did not conclude and is not held executable or excused. The fourth benefit, wearing any such article will not benefit this life. Rather, it is harmful. It brings harm. It's harmful in the sense the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تزيدك إلا وهنا. Verily, it will do nothing except increase weakness. Increases your weakness. Fifth, الإنكار بالتغليظ على من فعل مثل هذا. Intense disapproval and censure of whoever does such a deed. Meaning that this should be denounced. Sixthly, التصريح بأن من تعلق شيئا وكل إليه. The declaration that whoever attaches something to himself will have that thing put in charge of him. So he would be left to something created, and therefore he will be humiliated and disgraced. Seventhly, التصريح بأن من تعلق تميمة فقد أشرك. The clear declaration that whoever wears an amulet has committed shirk. And this is one of the narrations in the hadith of Uqba, which we went over. And from that, eighthly is that the using of twine to cure or to cool off from fever is of this type, is shirk. Because Hudhayfa recited the ayah, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Most of them believe in Allah and still practice shirk. And we explain this. This could be of the major type or of the lesser type, depending whether he believes that such a thing in itself can ward off harm or bring benefit independently from the command of Allah. Ninthly, Hudhayfa's report and recitation of this ayah is evidence that the Sahaba make use of such ayat mentioning the major shirk as proof for they use it dealing with or to condemn lesser shirk. Because in reality, and according to the majority of the opinion, is that the lesser shirk does not take the person out of the fold of Islam. And that's why we say الشرك نوعان, lesser and major. And similar to this is the saying of Ibn Abbas concerning the recitation of Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 165, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. And of mankind are some who take for worship others beside Allah as rivals, they love them as they love Allah, but those who believe love Allah more. So he considered the love which is similar to the love of Allah, which is like the love of Allah, is as taking rivals besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. And tenthly, the تعليق الودع من العين من ذلك, and seeking relief against the evil eye by using the seashells and the amulets is of this type of shirk, because it doesn't have any influence on its own which is affirmed either legally or universally, meaning by the universal decree of Allah. In their creation, there is no effect independently causing any
influence. And the 11th is the dua, that dua upon those or against those who wear and hang these tamaim, these twines, amulets and amulets and the like, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not bring their wish fulfilled. And this is nothing strange in this, that we are ordered to make dua against those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know from the hadith that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ مَنْ يُنْشِدُ الضَّالَّةَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ فَقُولُوا لَا رَدَّهَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. And the other hadith, وَإِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ مَنْ يَبِيعُ أَوْ يَبْتَاعُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ فَقُولُوا لَا أَرْبَحَ اللَّهُ تِجَارَتَكَ. If you hear someone who lost something in the mosque, looking for his item he lost in the mosque, then say, لَا رَدَّهَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ, may Allah not restore it to you. For the mosques were not built for this. And if you hear someone making trade in the mosque, then say, may Allah, or may Allah, yes, may Allah make not your trade profitable. لا أربح الله تجارتك. Here now we say the same thing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not fulfill your wish. However, here we must remember that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used this in general, in the general sense. So therefore we don't direct it at the person in himself and we say, may Allah does not fulfill your wish, because addressing the doer explicitly and particularly could be a cause which will lead to his dismay, or it will lead him away, drive him away from accepting the da'wah, turn away and therefore reject. However, we say, leave the tamaim, leave these things, twines, amulets, talisman, etc. We say, leave these things, because the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever wears or hangs the tamaim or tamima, then may Allah never let him see his wish fulfilled. And whoever hangs a seashell may not get peace and rest. May Allah not give him peace and rest. So in this context, we relate these things in the general sense, and this would be more acceptable than in the case where we make the dua against him in particular. Wallahu ta'ala a'la wa a'lam wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This concludes class number 20 in this series on the Al-Qawlu Al-Mufid ala Kitab Al-Tawheed, the beneficial saying on the book of Tawheed. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad.